Comes to us this evening from the Gospel according to John, the 13th chapter, beginning to read from the 1st through the 5th verses, and the 15th chapter, beginning to read at the 1st and ending at the 5th verse. Jesus has his longest prayer at the end in John 17, and this whole strata of the Gospel of John, John 13 through 17, is really the longest piece of instruction that Jesus offers his disciples before he dies. What we are interested in is his act initially, which begins the farewell discourse, what the scholars call the farewell discourse, and then the idea of being a vine and we are branches on Christ's vine. Hear God's word to us this evening. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And Jesus said to his own, to the ones he loved, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a person remains in me, and I remain in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." This is the word of the Lord. My sermon is entitled, "Move Slowly Through a Darkening World." And indeed, it was that. Sylvia Plath, who wrote a collection of poems, probably the darkest poems I've ever read, called Ariel, said, "Sometimes we move through the darkness, the darkest of the darkest nights. That's what we move through. That's part of our life." And sadly, Sylvia Plath, who had a great deal of literary talent, who wrote very, very depressing poems and also depressing novels, had a very, very tough life, and in the end, she ended her life, sadly. But at least she helps us understand what it means to move through darkness and a darkening world. And I think we've all been there. I think we've all experienced times in our lives where we have felt as if we're about to be crucified, or indeed we are being crucified. Those are events as the darkness seems to descend, and we say, as Jesus did in Matthew and Mark, on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And one might ask, what do we do during those times when life is really tough? When we feel as if we're coming to the end of our road, What do we do? And I think the issue that Jesus faced and solved is the issue that we need to look at. And that is, we need to move slowly when our world darkens. We need to not be distracted and move quickly, but rather we need to gather ourselves up and speak slowly and act slowly and make every moment count and indeed be aware of every moment. I know for myself how bad it is for me when I get busy. And I think I'm hypomanic, so that busyness tends to breed busyness for me, and I get faster and I get faster, as if somehow I'm a rat on a treadmill in some way. And I know that the year 2014 was exceptionally busy for me for a variety of reasons. And at the end of that year, I lost my cell phone. And I had no idea where I put it. About that time, there was a report on television about people who were beginning the process of dementia. And they said, and they gave this example, a doctor gave this example, that sometimes people who border and then cross the area into dementia often put their cell phones in the freezer. And indeed, that's what I had done. Unfortunately, it was too late because I bought another cell phone and I had repaired my life, so I thought, but I said to myself, is it dementia? Maybe not. Is it busyness, a frenetic pace, hurrying to and fro? And we remember in Job that what marks the devil, at least behaviorally, is that he paces, he goes to and fro, back and forth, that is the behavioral symbol of the demonic. And you know, that is a problem, I think, for all of us. We get so busy and then we get distracted and we lose the thread of our life. Or we get so busy and so distracted that we kind of forget that Jesus calls us to seek ye the kingdom of God first, and all other things will be added to us. Yesterday we had a wonderful program. We had what's called a labyrinth, which was a medieval design. And a pilgrim who could not go on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land or to Rome or to Reims or to Aachen or wherever could go to their local cathedral. The most famous labyrinth is in Chartres Cathedral. And in fact, the labyrinth some of us walked is a model, a representative of the Chartres Cathedral. Well, I was kind of the gatekeeper for 5 hours yesterday, and the labyrinth closed at 9, so I was the last one to walk it, and then I doused the candles that surrounded it. And it was interesting, you know, you go into the labyrinth and you have to walk slowly because the path is narrow. You have to walk slowly because the path is narrow. And I think that's a purpose for that. And I know before I went into the labyrinth, I had three issues that I prayed about. And I have not received an answer for any of the three. And I pray about these things daily. And then I say, oh Lord, I shouldn't pray about them, but I end up praying about them anyway. It was funny. Once I entered that labyrinth and began that circular walk through the four quadrants, slowly working my way toward the center, toward Christ, I completely forgot what those three important issues were. I completely forgot what those three or four issues were that seemed so important, because I was following Christ's path. And when you move deliberately and slowly enough, that seems to heal us of this need, this frenetic need to have God solve this, that, and the other problem. That's what I learned from the labyrinth, and I think there are other messages. And so what we see then is Jesus slowing down. Not that speed is altogether bad, and it's certainly not bad in the gospel. I mean, in the Gospel of Mark, for the first 8 chapters, Jesus is doing nothing but speeding around Galilee, teaching, healing, teaching, healing. And the Greek word euthys, which means immediately, is used 27 times, mostly in the first 8 chapters of the Gospel of Mark, which means immediately Jesus was doing this, immediately Jesus was doing that, immediately Jesus was doing something else. So, I mean, speed has its place in our lives. But it seems to me that when things are of utmost importance, when we are dealing with issues that are profound, we need to take time and to slow down. So we remember, for instance, in Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus has important things to say, as any rabbi of the day, they didn't stand up to say it, but they sat down. Would that our politicians could do that before they open their mouths. Jesus sat down. And what I read this evening to you was an act of love that Jesus had for his disciples, which could not be rushed through. Rub-a-dub-dub, 12 men in a tub, let's wash your feet quickly and get on with the business of living. I think the Greek shows that Jesus slowly and deliberately washed the disciples' feet. It was a profound act of love that couldn't be rushed through. And then notice the second reading from this farewell discourse, this great body of teaching, the greatest single body of teaching in the Gospels, that Jesus talks about being the vine and the disciples are the branches. Well, what an inert image that is it not? That's not an image of speed. It's certainly not an image of motion, but rather it is an image in which we remain inert. And that's just fine. Because, you see, as you look at the whole farewell discourse and Jesus talking about how much he says, I no longer call you disciples. I love you. I call you friends. Greater love hath no man or woman that he lay down his life for his friends. It's talking about love. Jesus talks about love. And you know, when it comes to love, when it comes to anything big in our lives, we had better slow down so that the people we're addressing know that we're serious. It's not, I love you, be gone. It's looking in someone's eyes and saying, I love you more than life itself. There's a poem about Mary and the angel. This is on the earlier part of before Jesus was born. And the poem says that Mary's eyes and the angel's eyes, Gabriel's eyes and Mary's eyes, were locked on one another. And there was a stillness and a silence there. What a beautiful image. Make sure in your life that you have the opportunity to slow down and say the things that need to be said, because Jesus, right before his execution, does that very thing. And I guess I might ask each one of us, hypothetically, if this evening was your last evening on earth, if suddenly, and I hope it's not for any of us, I hope to see you here on Easter Sunday or wherever you're going. I pray for your safety. But if God called you home this evening, what would you say to those you love? What behaviors would show the person that you love them? What would you do and how would you move? Because often we say to people, you know, oh, I love you, and we're off to work, or we're off to play, or we're off to whatever, Neverland, perhaps. But if this was your last night, how would you live it? I pray that we would all live it as Jesus did, deliberately, slowly, profoundly, intentionally, so that others might know not only our love for them, but the love of Christ that streams through our being, that streams through our being, giving our words and our actions profound meaning. Thanks be to God, even for this darkening world and this darkening night. Amen.